Basketball balls lose tonight. Tony Basilio welcoming you to another edition. Special transmission this evening. If you want to get in, 865-200-5402. Tony Jones back with me. Hatfield will be by a little later on. Marky Boy Griffin as well. On a night where the Vols, at one point, had a 39-24 lead towards the latter part of the first half. And they go to the break 39-37, and you knew from there it wasn't good. It wasn't good. Tony Jones, I bring you in against the backdrop of what we saw tonight. The up and down growth of a young basketball team, Tony, as I welcome you in. The Vols lose tonight to Arkansas, the final 82-78. And Tony, a young team on display tonight, the ups and downs.
Just a missed opportunity. I think each and every game in the SEC is going to be tough. It's going to be a grind 'em out game. We let one slip away. Obviously, you alluded to the 39-24 lead in the first half. And then Arkansas goes on an 11-0 run in the last 2:57. Then they come out and score the first 2 points of the second half. And that makes it a 15-0 run. And that puts them, back in control of the game or with a level of confidence that they didn't have when they were down.
Yeah, the number ended up being, Tone, 20-2 was the run that was decisive. And Tony, I think they had the first four in the second half and it was punctuated by a run out dunk. Tennessee just looked like they were asleep, coming out after the break. Let's talk about some bright spots. This Williams kid is—he kind of defies his size, doesn't he, Tone?
Grant Williams could play for me and anybody who I've coached with, coached for, whatever team I've been associated with. Grant Williams could play for us and play for me. 6'5", North Carolina kid. I mean, obviously, he's showing what he can do. He's a double-digit scorer for the Vols this year. But I mean, just the number of multiple opportunities that he enables the basketball team to possess, during a basketball game. For my money, tonight, he was the toughest guy out there on the basketball floor. He made his free throws. He missed two important free throws after the timeout, which was tough. But, you know, for a guy, that's a banger. More or less, he makes his free throws, and then he gives his team multiple opportunities. He's a defender. He's an intimidator. He blocks Kinsley's shot in a pivotal part of the basketball game. And Kinsley, who's supposed to be the preseason MVP, which he's not. He's not. He just doesn't play hard. He's kind of a prima donna. And, but Grant Williams is a keeper, and, the Vol fans should be very proud of him, to be able to have an opportunity to watch him for 4 years in a row.
Grant Williams is, I love guys like that. I'm glad that you were talking the way that you were, about him. And, you know, one thing that blows my mind is tonight, you look at the work he did, Tony. He fouled Thomas out of the game. He had two of their other forwards in foul trouble.
Right.
Grant Williams tonight at 6'5", Tony, got to the foul line 14 times. He had 14 foul shots, I should say. 14 attempts from the foul line for a guy 6'5"? I mean, are you kidding? Let me ask you this.
Go ahead. What did he end up? 10 of 14 or 11 of 14?
9 of 14, Tone.
9 of 14, okay.
No, I'm sorry. I'm reading Hubs' line. My bad. Williams tonight goes the line 14 times, and he's 9 of 14 from the line. Like I said, yeah,
okay.
9 of 14.
Okay.
9 of 14.
Okay. Great player. I mean, we didn't get the ball to Robert Hub the second half.
No,
I mean,
he disappeared.
You know, he's 6 of 8 early.
Yep.
12 points, 3 rebounds.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, we playing keep away from.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, Robert Hubbs is the most talented player on the Vols basketball team. You know, Dedrick Mostello, he's a very good player. He stretches the defense. Unbelievable three, you know, down late, a great play, diagram by Rick Barnes, to get us down by two. But Robert Hubbs has got to be the focal point of the offense. And we seen tonight a little immaturity with Jordan Bone, you know, the almost turnover late in the second half and then the turnover in the second half. Rick is just trying to fill it out. You know, do you play Turner? Do you play Bone?
Yep.
I mean, do you play Parker?
Yep.
You know, who do you have in the game, you know, at the end of basketball games? And it's going to be a learning experience, because it's a young basketball team, but, it's a team that's being put in positions to win. And when you put in position to win, especially at home in the SEC, you gotta convert.
Yeah, that's a painful, as we bring Keith Hatfield in, the second of our three-headed monster tonight. Keith, Tony Jones making the point that, you know, road wins are so rare in this league, and when you get one like you did Saturday, and you have a game like this where you're up 15 at the end of the first half, and you have an opportunity to put a team like this awake, Keith Hatfield, tonight's game, it's a painful loss. You cannot fault the way Tennessee played. They play with a tremendous amount of heart, a tremendous amount of effort, but Tony's calling it a missed opportunity. Keith, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, obviously, when you've got a lead at home, a large lead in the first half at home against a team that traditionally hasn't been terribly good on the road of late, that's certainly one. I don't think there's any doubt the game got away from Tennessee in the last 5 minutes of the first half and the first 5 minutes of the second half. I don't think there's any doubt that was the decisive factor as far as the game tonight. And you saw some things. I thought probably the thing that hurt Tennessee most was their shot selection. I thought the shot selection was pretty questionable most of the night, and I thought Tennessee took some really rushed shots. I think they fell in love with the three a little too much on a night when they were doing some damage getting to the basket, and I thought they probably should have been a little more aggressive with that.
Yeah, Tennessee shoots 19 threes in the game. They go 5 of 19. Tony, your thoughts on what Keith Hatfield says about the Vols really letting it slip there at the end of the first half?
No, I agree with those assessments. You know, when you got a team that struggles on the road, and Arkansas has, you know, under Mike Anderson, under Stan Heath, under every coach they basically had, they've always been a kind of an underachieving team on the road, and they've been really, really good at home. And to have Arkansas down 39-24, in the first half, I think, you know, you gotta try and, you know, put the metal to the pedal, as it pertains to that. But yet and still, you know, Arkansas is a good team. They're a quality team. They're one of the top four teams in the RPI, in the SEC. They're 12-2 right now. So it's a quality team with quality talent on there. Daryl Macon is a good player. I recruited him from JUCO. He's a good player, and you could see how he went to the free throw line and it didn't faze him. Where Moses Kinsley went to the free throw line and he constantly missed. I mean, Beer and Boxford, those guys are good players. And then, you know, the little point guard, Hannes III, made some tough shots in the mid portion of the second half. You know, he made a couple threes. He made a runner. I mean, he kept the team, right where they were supposed to be. So it's a team that's very talented, but yet and still, you put yourself in a position, you're down 5, you're down 3, you're down 4, It's a game that you should win. I just don't see why they don't get the ball to Robert Hubbs, which is the most talented player on that basketball
team,
to be able to score offensively.
Is that a worthwhile criticism, Keith? Hubbs doesn't touch it enough down the stretch, which really was kind of strange.
Well, I mean, he was essentially a non-factor out other than the run-out dunk that cut it to one, so I don't think there's any doubt that he certainly did not get the ball as much as you would hope in a stretch there. Because, I mean, he's your senior, he's your leading scorer. You would hope he would be more involved down the stretch than he was.
Tony, is that a deal where a coach has to say to him, hey, look, get more involved, or is that a deal where you got to call something for him? What's the inside there?
Well, it's got to be a consensus. I mean, Lamont Turner and Jordan Bone got to be able to get him the ball. Even though Kinsley didn't score when they gave it to him in the low post, but they constantly went to him in the latter part of the game. He didn't convert, but they went to him. Tennessee should have went to Robert Hubb. He's the best player on the team. And they just didn't go to him. And you know what? I got a lot of respect, for Rick Barnes as a coach. I mean, he's accomplished unbelievable things at Texas, at Clemson, and at a number of different other spots. But he's got to get the ball to Hubs, and he's got to make it a mandate. He's got to make it a mandate for his guards to get Hubs the ball. And then, you know, I'm gonna tell you, I've been there, done that. I know these officials that's in this league. I know Tony Green. I know Teddy Valentine. Some guys get respect when they go to the basket and go up for a shot. They give them the benefit of the doubt sometimes. And Robert Hubbs is probably the only guy that's gonna get the benefit of the doubt for Tennessee.
Keith, is that true of the young guys? That's a pretty good line, isn't it?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I don't think there's any doubt that you develop a reputation. I mean, there are guys that are known as whiners. There are guys that people know to play. And if a guy shoots an air ball, you got to assume if it's a really good player, the national inclination is to think they got hit or something. So absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And Tennessee, Hubs is the only one who's logged enough floor time to have any kind of real reputation with the officials, I would think.
Smartway Garza Law Firm, fifth quarter fan reaction / basketball overtime. And we're in the basketball overtime segment of our show. Tennessee loses tonight. I don't want to call the game a heartbreaker, but the game stings. 82-78. You're thinking at halftime, boy, this season's really special. We're going to be 2-0. We have a trip to Florida. We're playing on house money. And just as Keith said, at the end of that half, and it's a game of runs. It's always been a game of runs. Tony or Keith, any way to avert what happened at the end of the first half in hindsight? Was there any way to avert what we saw, Keith? I'll start with you.
Well, I mean, I just thought the shot selection in that stretch where they made the 13-point run at the end of the half was atrocious. I mean, Tennessee rushed up. I mean, there are a couple of possessions there where I don't even know that Tennessee made a pass in the front court. I mean, the ball quit moving. I mean, after being incredibly crisp and moving the ball really well for the first 17 minutes of the half, I thought the shot selection and the ball movement in the last 3 minutes of the first half was dismal.
Tony?
I'm not going to be a McCoy. I mean, I'm going to agree with Hatfield on this occasion. That's exactly right. The shot selection was questionable. And as a coach, that's the verbiage I'm going to use, questionable, because you never want to handicap any type of athlete out there on the basketball floor, especially when he want to take it upon himself to get some things done. But it was questionable. I think they should have ran a little bit more offense. They do a good job with the high post scissor stuff they do.
Really
dope. And then they got some isolation stuff that they can go to that proved to be successful. It's just that, you know, you had people uncharacteristically shooting shots that maybe shouldn't have been shooting them. I mean, I'm gonna continue to beat this drum. Robert Hubbs is 6-for-8. In the first half.
He was smoking.
12.3 rebounds.
Keith.
Why not milk him like a cow?
Keith,
come
he was getting ready to get 35 tonight. He was. The way the game started.
They didn't have any real answer for him.
No, they had no answer. I mean, they tried a couple different guys on him. They had no answers for him. He was getting ready to get 35.
Tony, this guy making left-hand shots.
How about the one off the window when he threw it up? when they made it a 15-point game. He threw the ball off the window. I mean, come on, guys.
Yep.
Keith, he was fixing to have a career night. Let's look at some of the numbers. Tennessee against an Arkansas team that's really, really poor on the road. Arkansas comes into the Tennessee's building tonight, shoots 50% from the field. Tennessee shoots 39. The Hogs, 27 out of 54. Tennessee, 25 out of 64. From three-point land, Arkansas, 5-11, 45%. The Vols, 5 of 19 for 26%. From the foul line, Arkansas, 23 of 32, 72%. Tennessee, 23 of 33, 70%. The Hogs had 9 turnovers. Tennessee had 8. Respectable numbers for both teams. Points off turnovers. Arkansas better in that department tonight, 12-7. Total rebounds. Tennessee outscores their opponent, 43-36. On the defensive end, 31-29. Offensive end, Tennessee had 14 offensive boards to their 5, and several of the offensive boards were Williams. And as Tony Jones said, Keith, there were a couple possessions in the second half where his want to put the Vols on the power play. I mean, I was waiting for them to come out with skates.
Williams tonight, I mean, he, against one of the better front and more athletic front lines you'll face in the SEC this year, I thought he had a fantastic game. I mean, you can't have asked for any more out of him tonight.
He pummeled him. Kinsley's supposed to be, Tony, he's supposed to be the player of the year in the league. He pummeled him.
Not Kinsley. Ever since he was been touted ever since his freshman year that he was going to be a great player. He just doesn't play hard. I mean, 3 years ago when we were at Auburn and we go right at Kinsley. He's a guy that when everything is going his way, you know, he rides the wave, but I mean, he looked like an ordinary player. You seen Kinsley tonight. He may have been the fifth, sixth, maybe seventh best player on the floor.
Damn. Second chance points in tonight's game, which Tony and Keith, second chance points to me means hustle.
Well, yeah, I mean, offensive rebounding is always going to be about effort.
We had 14 second chance points to their 5 tonight, Keith. Tennessee did everything but get that win tonight. They did everything but get the win.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, like I said, you let it slip. And I mean, that's a good lesson for a really young team is that the game got away in the middle section. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that 10-minute stretch where the lead goes from 15 to, I think, Arkansas stretched out to 9 or 10 at one point. I mean, that's the ball game.
Yeah, no question about it. I agree.
Bench points tonight. A rare night where Tennessee's bench gets outscored 38-35. Points in the paint, 36-32. Fast break points, 12-6 in favor of them. They had 5 blocks to our 3, 5 steals to our 4. We had 15 assists in tonight's game. Tennessee, guys, continues to be a team that shares the basketball.
Oh, and I think that's the frustrating part. I think that's the frustrating part about what happened at the end of the game, or at the end of the first half and into the second half, is that was the one time you've seen this team since early in the season, probably the Chattanooga game, not share the ball much. I mean, it became everybody kind of trying to get theirs, and I think that was a huge part of the problem.
And it may be a little bit more Parker. We may need a little bit more Parker because Parker is more of a pass first distributor. I thought he played well. You know, he's a solid defender. You know, Lamont Turner wasn't bad. You know, Jordan Bone, you know, made a great drive and layup.
He did.
You know, to cut that lead late in the game. But just like I alluded to earlier, he made that was a crucial turnover he made.
No doubt. No doubt.
Crucial turnover late in the game.
Keith, do you come out if they have a do-over? And I'm not questioning because I said what I would have done is I would have run something through Bone. I would have thought they would have gotten the ball into the hands of either Mostella or into the hands of Hubs, who did his disappearing deal that he does. They were looking to get the ball to Williams, and it was an odd angle, and the turnover, it was just too quick. Thoughts, and then we'll go to the phones. By the way, 865-200-5402. What do you think, Keith?
I thought Bone tried to make the right play. I mean, and I thought Beard made a pretty good play helping down into the post there. So you're going to turn it over a few times. I mean, you only turn the ball over, what, I think you said, 8 or 9 times tonight. That's certainly an acceptable number. I don't think that was near as big a problem as a couple of turnovers out in the open floor that got Arkansas easy baskets there in the second half coming out of halftime.
Yeah, those were, wow. Those were, excuse me, we came out a little asleep. By the way, wet basketball tonight, guys. You ever seen a guy hug the ball the way Teddy Valentine was tonight over there? I mean, Mike DeBoard walks off the campus. You better check the chlorine in the pools. And all of a sudden, we've got trouble with moisture on the ball, moisture in Thompson Bowling. Something about Mike DeBoard and the moisture levels over there.
It may not be a coincidence, Tony.
And Philip Fulmer tonight was ripping Teddy Valentine, according to some witnesses that were on the scenes. Let's go back to the phones, and we'll get as many people in the mix and in the hunt as we can. Tony Jones is with us. Keith Hatfield is with us. Mark Griffin will be by with us a little later on. I want to thank my friends at Smartway and also your Garza Law Firm. We'll remind you that Marcos Garza live help is available at GarzaLaw.com. If you want to click in the button and you want to start chatting, you can right now. Marcos has got your six. Got your six. Let's go to the phones, and we'll get as many folks in here as humanly possible. And let's get our first call in tonight. Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Thousands and thousands and thousands listening. Hello, welcome in.
D&T.
What's up, brother?
Hey, Tony, my man, a little bit of Hatfield. That sucked. You know, that's my expert analysis there. Okay, I got a couple of points I want to throw by you guys. What happened to Shabari Phillips? Did Barnes put him on a no shoot order tonight? Yes or no?
Hatfield, what do you think? No shoot order, Shabari Phillips?
I don't think he was terribly engaged in that. I don't know that there would be any reason for him to be on any kind of offensive restriction or anything. I just don't think he was. He just didn't seem terribly engaged tonight. And I think that's why other people ended up playing most of his minutes.
He has that thing about him, doesn't he? Sort of like a young Hubs. He's either engaged or he's not. Yes.
I think so. I mean, I think anytime Shabari Phillips is mentally focused and there to play, he's usually pretty doggone good. And I don't think he contributed a heck of a lot tonight.
Tony, how do you respond to that? Some guys do bring it night in and night out, and some guys will bring it night out.
You know, from the sideline perspective as a coach, I agree. And you know it as a coach, you know, when you think a guy has it and you know, has the fire on that particular night. And that's your job as a coach, to be able to pull those strings, to put the type of personnel on the floor that you think gonna get the W. He didn't seem engaged, you know, and that's why Parker, and Bone and Turner and Mostella, you know, played the majority of the minutes on the perimeter. He's a good player. Let's call it like we see it, guys. I mean, you know, it's got to be a team effort for Tennessee to win basketball games, no matter if it's home or away.
Right on.
Everybody's got to be able to contribute. And if, you know, you got one, two, or three guys slacking, then you're going to get this type of result. I mean, the SEC is tough. I mean, you got to go to Florida now, and then you got a good South Carolina team coming back in the Thompson Bowl in the
No doubt about
that.
It. No doubt.
So, I mean, you know, hey, it is what it is. You know, everybody got to come to play. And if everybody come to play, and you know, as a coach, let's put ourselves in a position to win, and let's see what happened at the end.
Continue. Yeah. Continue, my caller.
Well, yeah, this is Jeff and Blaine, by the way. Yeah, I'm with you exactly. I just don't know why, you know, he's got open looks. The guy's running at him. Like that.
Yeah.
When I played ball, that was my favorite shot. The guy running at me, I pump fake, get him in the air, step over, knock it down. And instead, he drove the ball, which, Tony, I'm sure you're thinking that's probably a better high percentage point, get in the paint, maybe get a foul. But Shambari's got to, he's got to shoot that ball and get some bucket. I mean, he's at his best when he's out behind the arc and he's making a couple threes a game. And
I agree.
I mean, it's no wonder that we lost about the way we did. And then the other thing, you guys hit it on the nail there, Tony, hey, I think if Barnes has, if he has a couple of those plays at the end over again, Mostella should have been handling the ball. I just think Mostella is too much of a bucket maker and a clutch bucket maker to not handle that ball. I love Little Bone as Tony, calls him, but you gotta put the ball in Mostella's hand. And then what happens? After that turnover, Mostella gets it and he goes for the and one. And then at the end, I'm sorry, you gotta go for the three. I mean, what good is it if you drive it?
Totally agree with that. You got 7 seconds. Shoot a three there. Or nine
you
seconds.
Shoot that. Shoot the three and Tony, I would welcome your, as a great coach that you are, what's the play there? Like, why do you not shoot the three? What's the advantage? And is it me, Tony, Basilio, that Tennessee is the program in the NCAA history that can't get a bucket up at the end of a game to try to win a game.
Great show. It's everywhere, and I appreciate that. Let me get Tony's thoughts on that, and I'll bring Keith in. In fact, both you guys, let's kick that around, and then we'll go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Hatfield, Tony, first to you. A situation like that, you got 8 or 9 seconds left. Are you playing 2-for-1 there? It's going really fast now. Are we playing 2-for-1 there? Are we lining up with Mostella? Are we trying to dead eye a 3-ball?
Very astute point by the caller. I mean, Mostella's got to have the ball. I mean, he's the guy that's gone through the wars of the SEC.
Yep.
He's the guy that's made big shots.
Yep.
He has to have the ball. You know, you say, you know, he's a guy that plays off the ball. He plays on the wing.
Yeah.
But yet and still, he has point guard skills where he can go from point A to point B via the dribble, and he does it well. He needs the ball, and if you got to have Turner or you got to have Bone in the game, you put those guys on the wing, and you make Mostella a decision maker. And you make him the decision maker either to shoot it or to pass it, and that's just my observation of watching this basketball team. You guys have watched this basketball team over the last 2 years more than I have.
Yeah,
I'm over in Canada last year.
I got you.
Coaching. I'm at Auburn the previous year.
I got you.
Coaching Auburn. But just watching this team this year and knowing Mostella from recruiting.
Yeah.
He's very capable and he's very experienced. And then you know the guys at Raftery, you know, coming to me and seeing that me talking on the phone
at Raftery,
you know, on the
Keith.
Yeah, at Raftery,
Keith Hatfield, Raftery.
I just think he needs the ball in this thing.
Okay, so Keith, your thoughts on what the caller had to say, and then Tony's counterpoint.
Well, I think one thing there is I think Mostella certainly was solid down the stretch, and I think you probably try to keep. I don't mind until you get down. I don't think you start taking threes till you absolutely have to at the end. If you get one in the flow of your offense, that's fine. But I'm always a big believer in try to extend the game and keep game pressure on the opponent. Make them have to do what Arkansas was able to do, but they went to the line and made the free throws at the end.
Yeah.
That's their credit. That's their credit, but Tennessee made them do that. And I think that I always think that's the better percentage play.
We're going back to the phones, 865-200-5402. Hello to our next caller and welcome in. You're on the Smart Way Garza Law Firm, Tennessee. Basketball overtime. Tennessee loses tonight, 82-78 I'm not going to call it a heartbreaking loss, but it was a painful loss. As I welcome in our next call. Hello.
Tony, sound sweet. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, buddy. Welcome in.
Hey, let me ask you a question, or maybe ask Tony. Why are the refs going to a monitor to check who the foul's on? I mean, they called the foul. Why do you need to check it?
Tony?
You don't know who you called it on. Why are you calling it?
You know, we've gone to the replay, role in almost every sport. I mean, and it's matriculated down to college basketball where they saying if Tony Green, makes a good call when the ball is not deflected off of Arkansas
right.
play and he calls it for Tennessee.
Right.
And
that's what they looked at. They were looking at possession there. It wasn't.
No, I'm talking about under the basket when they're calling a over the back on a player and they're going down to shoot free throws.
Oh, whoa. Hang on a second. Let me bring Hatfield in and see if he saw that. Hatfield, did you see that?
Happened two times.
The one time that I remember it happening is they were seeing who was going to be shooting it.
Correct.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that
on the foul. I mean,
you know, that makes sense because getting a higher percentage shooter to the line is about as old as one of the oldest tricks in the book, right? I mean, right, Hatfield? That's no joke.
I mean, I think most teams you see there are guys that try to run to the free throw line anytime a foul is called on the other end, especially on loose balls.
I never played ball coming up. I was just curious.
No, that's a good question. It's fine. That's what we're here for.
So, Barnes, towards the end of the first half, when Arkansas's going on their run, were we out of timeout? Was he saving?
No, he was just letting them play. I mean, it's a gut call. You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to second guess that because I don't want to second guess it. What do you think, Keith? I mean, surely you could have used a timeout there. I mean, obviously, in hindsight, the way the half ends.
It wouldn't have been a poor play to call in there, right. But I don't know. It may be a situation where, I mean, a lot of what Barnes has done this year is teaching guys lessons, and a lot of coaches, especially veteran coaches, tend to let their guys play through it. So I would think that would be his reasoning.
And that's what he's done so far this year.
Okay, I mean, I get that maybe a non-conference play where you're going to say, hey, you know, we're not going to, you know, sit here and coach every game to death. But, I mean, in the conference, when you're trying, I mean, hey, the last thing, when Hubs disappears, and this is maybe more a question to Tony or Keith or whoever, when he disappears, is that on Barnes not running plays for him, or is it more on Hubs not demanding the basketball and not saying, hey, I'm going to get my shot, give me the damn ball?
Well, now, being fair, Hubs has had a history of disappearing at various points in games. So, Keith, how do you respond to that?
Well, I mean, I think it's a little of both. I mean, I think you have to make sure your best players get the ball, but your best players have to actively chase the ball a little bit, too.
Yeah, and your best, the very good players at all these levels want the ball, demand the ball.
Correct.
Which is the difference. Tweety, love you, man. Thank you, brah.
All right, guys. Be good.
Tone, how do you respond to that? Coach or player, who's more responsible for Hubs' disappearing act tonight?
You know what? As a coach, you got to know your players. It's as simple as that. Sometimes you got to tell players, you know, if you don't hunt the ball, if you don't look to be aggressive, then I'm going to sit you down. And, you know, I know this kid has a history of disappearing sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, you gotta let him know that, you know, we're gonna ride or die with you, Robert Hubs III. And this should be known to him that he needs to touch the basketball during the important sectors of the game. And whether it's a specialty play call for him or whether it's something verbally from the bench. Robert, go get the ball. Go get the ball. That has to happen.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Keith, who's presenting your appearance tonight?
Oh, our good friends at Clancy's Tavern and Whiskey House in downtown Knoxville next to the Tennessee Theater.
They're my boys at Clancy's. Tony, you ever been down to Clancy's?
I never been down to Clancy's. What's their specialty?
Tony, I'm going to take you down there next time we play music. Tony doesn't believe I play music, Keith.
Hey man, we got the whole conference season. We got the whole winter and into the spring to do this. And you know, I ain't been around in a while, so I wanna get integrated and
immersed. You wanna get immersed? Hey Tone, who's presenting your appearance tonight?
You know what? H3 Sports. I've talked to Tony Hollins, and you know, we're gonna start doing some things as it pertains to basketball overtime and H3 Sports in the Knoxville Basketball Academy.
Back to the phones we go. The great Tony Holland, bow your head when you say thy name. Let's get our next call in here. Does he still look like Mark Richt? Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Gentlemen, that was a disappointing loss there, the most disappointing of the season.
It's like, when you're up and you got that lead in that second, first half, Bino, and I'm already thinking, damn, these guys are going to get out to 2-0. They might get out to 3-0. We're going to play on house money down there at Florida this weekend. We're going to have us some fun. And then you just get that kind of, it's like Penn State. It's like what happened to them yesterday. Just get your heart ripped out like that, man, losing a game like that.
You know, with three minutes of uncharacteristic lackadaisical play. Keith talked about it. The quick shots, a little bit of selfish play, which puts us out of position to be ready for transition defense, and we just gave away what we had earned last Saturday or Friday or whenever the Texas A&M game was.
Yeah, there's a sense of that, T. Jones, isn't there? As you told me before we came on, those road wins are so freaking hard to get. And when you're a favorite at home and you got that big lead at the end of the half, it's a shame not to close that game out.
Oh, well, road wins are sweet in any conference you play in. And then you got to protect your home court advantage. But, you know, I think this season in the SEC is going to be topsy-turvy. I mean, each and every time you step out on the floor, I think you're going to have the opportunity to win if you put yourself in that opportunity to win. And then at home, you would hope that, you know, you can win, 70% of your games. You know, you're up 39-24 in the first half. Mm. You know, some games are won in the first half, and then they allowed Arkansas to get back. And then the 15-0 run. And then, like you mentioned earlier, Tony, the 20-2 run that it was from the first half to the second half probably determined the basketball game.
Yeah, that was Keith's point, Bino. When you come out of the timeout or when you come out of the intermission and they just have that run with the two run out and then the run out dunk, which gives them a lead, and then basically they extend it out to 7, and then you're playing chase the rest of the half. That's a tough way to go, Bean.
Well, I know with a young team, we're probably going to see a lot of confidence blips. And I think they lost their confidence at the end of the first half, and they were still shaking at the start of the second half. They come out and they turn the ball over, and they take another quick shot. TJ, let me ask you something. I don't want to belabor the point. What's the thought process from a head coach's standpoint when you've got a young basketball team that needs your direction, and you allow the other team to run off 13 straight points?
Well, you know what? I think Keith made an astute point. As a coach, especially at the latter part of that first half, you got to see if they can play through it, and maybe we can get a basket to curtail that run. And before you know it, it was like bang, bang, bang. Arkansas had cut it from 8-6-4. You know,
yeah,
and
was
then
so
it was real quick.
Yeah.
And then you would hope that we could curtail the run by maybe getting a field goal or maybe getting hacked and going to the free throw line. But it didn't happen. I'm not gonna blame Rick Barnes for that not calling the timeout. That's ludicrous to blame a coach for that not calling the timeout. You just tried to get your team to play through it. It didn't happen. We still had a second half to play where we could have played our basketball game. We could have understood how Arkansas has not been a great team on the road and still won the game. So I'm not going to put that on Rick Barnes in no aspect.
And, Keith, your point is that's a feel thing, right? That's your point, Keith? It's just a feel thing.
Right, and one thing that I think you see, the one thing this team still needs desperately is a real offensive post presence. I think because one of the things that I think Tony certainly has seen forever is the easiest way to kill another team's run is throw the ball into a big guy and get fouled and slow and stop the game that way.
Yep.
And we just don't have that guy right now.
Yep. And here's the thing, even against a wildly talented team like Arkansas, and they are wildly talented, Tennessee, through just sheer want to, out rebounds that team tonight, 43-36, which is a minor miracle. But you're right; you don't have that presence where give me the ball, and away we go. Bino, continue.
And I don't want to take anything away from Arkansas whatsoever because they really made big shots, made every play that they needed to make, hit every free throw coming down the stretch. I mean, we pushed them in the second half. And, guys, I understand a coach allowing his team to let them play through. I can understand letting them play from a 13-point lead down to a 6-point lead. I don't understand letting them play the whole lead away. I don't see what you're benefiting there. One last thing. Are you guys afraid at all that this team is kind of learning to lose close basketball games?
Great question, Keith.
Well, I mean, they won up at ETSU. I mean, the A&M game, while they had control of it, I mean, they had a little bit of game pressure, a lot of which they put on themselves down the stretch in College Station. But I think, I don't know that I think that yet. I mean, I think you see, tonight, really, they're playing from behind. And they never really got caught up. I mean, I think I don't think they ever got the lead back.
Didn't
once
get
they
it.
Lost
didn't get
half,
it back.
So.
Nope. In fact, almost came this close to forcing a turnover. Could have been a walk on the trap when it's a 1-point game error late. Bino, anything else for us? And you're my man. I'll see you Friday.
Yes, sir. I love the way this team defends. I think for the most part they've defended well. Most of the time when they don't, it's because they've taken a bad shot and they're just not in position. I love the way they rebound for no bigger than they are, and those are great things. Those are great things to build on. I'm wondering about trying to figure out who your best leader is coming down the stretch to have the ball in their hands. I'm sure that's something that Barnes is trying to ascertain too.
Thank you, Bino. Yeah, I think you're right, and I love you, man. See you Friday. Thank you. Oh, I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think that part of the process of this whole thing is learning your personnel. And, you know, Tony, you guys did some mystifying things when you were on Pearl staff here. So, you know, in terms of personnel, but the truth is coaches know their personnel more than we know their personnel. I mean, you guys spend every day with them at practice. But the thing that's interesting, though, here was at the end of the half and at the end of the game, at some point you got to decide, when I need points, who am I putting the ball in the hands of? And Hatfield said it. At the end of that first half, you had the wrong people shooting quick shots. Now, at some point, you got to intervene there and go, look, next time down, this is what I'm calling, and damn it, if you don't run it, I'll pull everybody off the floor, right? I mean, that's true, right?
Yeah, you're right. I just like to piggyback on Bino and great talking to you, Bino. Great astute commentary. Let's don't discard Arkansas here tonight. Let's don't discard Beard. The lefty making a big 3-point play. Let's don't discard, Bartsford playing a very good game and then making tough free throws, money free throws, at the end. It's like a mano a mano. It's like in a boxing ring. You know, you punch, you counterpunch, and that's what happens during the majority of basketball games. And it's ebbs and flows, it's ups and downs, and then nine times out of ten, if you're on both coaching staffs of both sidelines, you see what happens at the end of the game and what guys are going to make plays at the end of the game. And in this particular occasion, Arkansas made the plays at the end of the game. You know, let's give them credit for winning the basketball game.
Arkansas, hey, guys, Arkansas need this game more than we did. Hey, Keith, if Arkansas loses this game, now they had designs of going to the NCAA tourney. I don't know if we do. I mean, being honest about it. Arkansas, Keith, if they'd have lost this game, would have started at 0-2 in this league with a trip to Lexington, who last time I checked is pummeling A&M right now. So Arkansas played with a sense of urgency, Keith, in that game tonight, I thought.
Well, you certainly never want to be staring 0-2 in the league with a trip to Rupp Arena down the pike. I mean, that's not the way to get started. Arkansas didn't do anything outstanding in their non-league schedule, so they certainly can't throw out a mediocre league schedule and have any real hope, I think, of making the NCAA tournament.
865-200. Keith, how many bids is this league going to get? I mean, sight unseen, it's a stupid question to ask you, but just your projection, your thought.
4 or 5. I don't see any way they get any more than that.
To the phones we go. 865-200-5402 is the number. If you want to jump in with us tonight on a night when Tennessee loses 82-78, but Williams had a line. His line tonight, 15 points. He's 3 of 5 from the field. He goes to the foul line 14 times, makes 9, has 11 boards, and 1 turnover in 28 minutes. That's a lot of positivity. That is a lot of positivity for a guy who touched the ball that much in that basketball game tonight. Now, the one criticism you could have of him is, you know, you miss 5 foul shots, but, and here's the other thing that's weird about tonight's game. Arkansas from the line, guys, as we mentioned earlier, their line, as far as, attempts and makes from the foul line, Arkansas tonight, 23 of 32. They make like 9 in a row down the stretch. I mean, that's a team that's been having trouble winning on the road. You've got to give your opponent credit when they make shots at a clip like that and they put you away. I mean, they had no margin for error. Arkansas didn't down the stretch. And when Mostella hits that circus 3 there at the end, you're sitting there looking at it and you're going, God, this game was, Arkansas had to make all of them, which is the way it played out. Let's go back to the phones and get our next call in. And guys, that's a shot. I mean, you think about that. That's a team that has not won. And Tony, you pointed this out. But Keith, that's a team that has not won over multiple regimes on the road. And you would never known it the way they finished that game out tonight.
Well, and a lot of that is the two junior college guys, Barford and Macon. I mean, they don't have that institutional knowledge of, okay, we're bad on the road. I mean, I think getting some new guys in there helped it. I think that was obvious. I mean, they obviously certainly were huge down the stretch for them tonight. And I think one thing you've got to give credit to the Arkansas staff and the players both for being incredibly smart is the reason they made their free throws down the stretch is they got the ball to their good free throw shooters.
Well, that's a great point. That's a wonderful point. 865-200-5402. Get our next call in here. Hello and welcome. You're on the Smart Way Garza Law Firm, Tennessee. Basketball overtime. Welcome in.
Guys, it's Smitty. How you doing?
Hey, Smitty, welcome in.
Hey, let's not forget, I mean, this Arkansas team won on the road at Texas earlier this year. I know that Texas isn't quite, I don't think they're quite the team that they were last year, but I mean, that's obviously a impressive road win against Shaka Smart. So, I mean, you can't discredit that. I think that Joe made a good point that kind of road struggles that they've had over the last couple of years, I think that's kind of dwindling, to say the least.
Maybe. Maybe it's a thing of the past.
I would think so. I mean, Tony, Keith, you know, whatever. I mean, when you have the inconsistencies of a team like this, obviously you have depth on the bench, but a lot of young players. You know, you have a lot of different guys showing up, you know, or a couple different guys showing up, you know, one night and then the other night. I mean, how hard is that for, you know, a coach to decipher who's going to be in that starting lineup based off of, you know, who's played well over the last couple games or who hasn't, or, you know, if you had just one good game along the line, you know, I imagine that's going to be very difficult for Barnes to try to get that lineup in either early in games, late in games, when it matters, you know, finding those right guys when they're seem to be a little inconsistent.
You know, Tony Jones, he's got a great point. And you know why? You made the point when you were on here last week with us after the A&M game that Tennessee's got a lot of bodies.
Right.
But they don't have a lot of stars. But they have a lot
right.
of bodies. And when you have a lot of bodies and not a lot of stars, how do you extrapolate who gets the minutes?
What you got to do is, you know, you got to keep on getting after them in practice and see which cream rises to the top. I mean, the season is still early. I mean, Tennessee has played 13, actually this will be 14 games. They're 8-6 right now. Halfway through the season and you still kind of evolving. I think Evans played a decent game as far as, you know, getting to the offensive glass, inside. Obviously, Grant Williams has been a really good find. I mean, he's got heart. He's got heart to play the game. And then you go with Hubs and Marcelo and then you figure out who you're going to play the majority of the minutes at point for Turner and Bone. And you just got to get quality minutes from each and every guy that logs minutes out on the floor. I'm looking at these stats again, and I'm looking at Arkansas shooting 50% on the road, shooting 45% from three, and shooting 72% from the free throw line, and going to the free throw line 32 times on the road, where Tennessee went 33. let's don't go overboard in criticizing Tennessee I'm still steadfast in saying it's a game we let slip away, but Arkansas imposed their will to win the basketball game.
I don't disagree. I mean, a lot of the shots that they threw up in the second half, I mean, I think they took like an 8-point lead.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of running shots, floaters kind of coming down the lane that they were just throwing up. And I mean, Hannah took one from the foul line extended, floated it up there and it made it. I mean, you know, so they did a really good job.
Yeah.
But I was curious. I mean, but I'm sitting here watching Alabama, Mississippi State. I see two young teams.
You're watching what?
Alabama, Mississippi State.
Somebody paying you for that?
I wish. Because it's that bad. It's my point, though.
Didn't you move for a girlfriend?
No, God, no. Heck no. I'm just doing it as part of, I'm just watching. And, you know, two young teams. And, I mean, honestly, just the overall, you know, play that I'm seeing from them is completely different than what I see from Tennessee. I see Tennessee as more composed team than I do Alabama or Mississippi State. I think Arkansas is a good team. That was a tough game. I know that we, struggled. I guess it's a learning moment. I like what Barnes did down the stretch in the first half. I wanted to, you know, see those guys play out, but, you know, that was a good game. It's a tough one. I don't want to criticize them too much. It's too early.
It's a gutty effort by our basketball team.
Well, if you're an average fan watching that game, I think you find that as an entertaining game.
Absolutely. I find every game we've played except for Chattanooga so far this year entertaining. And I appreciate your phone call. Thank you. Keith Hatfield, thoughts on Smitty's call?
I think you saw some things out of Arkansas. I mean, you see why that they're 12-2 now. I mean, they've not played the toughest schedule in the world, but I mean, you can see why that's a team that's run up a bunch of wins this year. And a couple of those shots, I mean, Tennessee got wildly unlucky on a couple of those shots too. I mean, I think it was Melvin Watkins' son hit one just ridiculous bank shot that he probably missed by about 5 feet and knocked it in off the board. So I did that.
It was a complete brick, Hatfield.
Yeah.
And it went in.
Oh, everything they put up in that run seemed to go in. Now, granted, Tennessee helped them out by getting them some open floor, easy baskets by throwing the ball directly to them. But, I mean, they made some tough shots, too. I think Arkansas deserves plenty of credit for tonight.
Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. And we'll get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys.
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, to both the Tonys and Hatfield. Hey, Tony Jones, I got a good buddy of mine, and Basilio, please don't rudely cut me off like you did the other night. But I got a good buddy of mine, and I know that you know that coaches Tennessee Bobcats, Kevin Feltner, and he yeah. calls us. Yeah, you know Kevin.
Great guy.
Yeah. And he's a pretty smart basketball guy. And we talk during and after all the games. And but he never calls a show. Some observations that he has made to me. He said, Lamonte Turner, you know, they kind of brought him in to be a point guard before they got Bone. And he said, he's not a point guard. He said, he's a catch and shoot guy. He said, when he tries to go to the hole, it's over. And another observation he said he's made, you know how, Barnes changed Kevin Punter's shot and was very successful at it?
Yep.
He said that Dietrich Mostella's got the worst shooting form. And if he wants to change somebody's shot, he needs to change Dietrich Mostella.
Well, I'll tell you what. For a guy with bad shooting form, he's been shooting it pretty well this year. And he was 5 of 12 from the field tonight, 16 points, 3 of 7 from three-point land. I mean, hell, you shoot about 50% from three-point land. Most nights you're getting it done.
Right. But he can – Think about if he could make the improvement that Punter made. How good would he be?
I'm telling yeah. you. I mean, what do you think, Tone? Would you be fooling around?
I mean, you can't change your shot. You know that the freshman that's at UCLA. Have you seen the freshman play at UCLA?
Yes.
You see his shot?
Yes.
Okay. You don't change a person's shot. I mean, you know, they've gone through a number of years of muscle memory and making shots. Andrew Tony. You know Andrew Tony. You're a Philly guy, Tony B. How was Andrew Tony's shot?
The craziest looking knuckleball you've ever seen. And it went in.
But did it go in?
Like Timmy Hardaway.
Exactly.
Timmy Hardaway's ball would move 6 inches while it was in the air. It looked like he was playing high lie.
Yeah. So you don't do that. I don't think you do that as a coach. You just try and get them in the gym as much as possible to get repetition up. Lamont Turner has been a point guard. We recruited him when I was at Auburn as a point guard. That's the only position that him and his people and his AAU coaches wanted him to play. And that's the only position that he can play. I disagree with Kevin on that accord. I like Kevin. He's a quality basketball guy. The Farkerson kid, he brought him up under his tutelage.
He did.
And I'm gonna tell you, if Farkerson would be there, like Keith said, that's the low post presence that they need. I mean, how many of those spin moves did he make against North Carolina to put Tennessee in a position to win the basketball game? So that injury hurt, no question about it. Injuries are part of the game. But you can kind of nitpick in so many instances on games and on seasons and things of that nature. As coaches, what we just try and do is just keep a level of consistency and go to practice each and every day. And just try and get better each and every day.
Well, Tony, what I was wondering about is late in the game when we need a three, about putting Bone at the point with Turner also out there.
Well, I think I addressed that a little bit earlier in the show. I think that Dietrich Mostella should have had the ball in his hand. That's an experienced guy where you put it in his hands to be able to make a play, whether he's going to be able to negotiate and pull up 4-3 or get in the lane and penetrate and kick to a guy that's capable of making a three, or penetrate and spoon feeding to a guy that's going to, you know, make a layup and extend the basketball game. You know, that's just my